You're an experienced broadcaster. You got the best job in the world. You're on the top of your game. You've got a great show that's been built around you and your persona. You're blowing it.
The Dory Monson Show on Cairo Radio. This is The Big Lead.
I'll try to get it back here. Coming to you from the Carter Subaru Studio, I told you it would be fiscally disastrous if the Democrats got control of both chambers down in Olympia. And as is always the case, I was right. I told you so. We're just getting the breaking news out of Olympia.
The Big Lead. Breaking news.
So the House Democrats have unveiled their two-year state budget, and it includes massive, unconstitutional tax increases. They want to increase the budget to $52.6 billion. They say that these sweeping extra billions in taxes would pay for prisons and parks and schools and public lands and other programs. How are they going to pay for it? With an income tax. Now, they don't call it an income tax. They call it a capital gains tax because they think that's more politically palatable. But a capital gains tax is unquestionably, undeniably, 100% an income tax. And the way they're structuring it is absolutely against the Constitution of the state. The Democrats have seen an income tax as their holy grail. They keep telling us how upside down our tax system is. You know what? For most of us, we have one pool of money for taxes, whether it be federal, state, city, county. And my wife and I are doing our taxes right now. And this notion, I do pretty well. I do better than I ever dreamed I could ever do in life. But this notion that some people don't pay their fair share, when I look at, you know, the tax tab, and the fact of the matter is, when you add up all of one's taxes, federal and state and local, we're not upside down. That's a fantasy that's being created by Democrats and by a lot of accomplices in the media. Because you factor every tax that people pay together, and it remains true. You know, especially at the federal level, where the top earners pay the vast majority, the bottom 50% pay nothing in federal income taxes, nothing. And so, but they have to have that fantasy to try to sell an income tax here in Washington. And so the Democrats have proposed a new capital gains tax. Again, there is no question. We have seen letters from the IRS that confirm that they view capital gains as income, and that is unconstitutional in the state of Washington. They also want to raise the B&O tax on businesses. And so it's all about more money, money, money. And Democrat Gail Tarleton, she says, yeah, we don't have enough of the taxpayers' money down here in Olympia.
The post-Great Recession economy should have produced enough revenue to fund current budget needs, but it didn't.
Yeah, let me pause right there. We're paying more per capita in taxes. The state budget is larger per capita, adjusted for inflation, than ever in state history. They raised billions of dollars through the extortion of the teachers' union that went not to improve our schools, not to reduce class size, but to give massive, unsustainable raises to the teachers through their union. And that's what it's about. That's the main reason why they need even more of our money right now.
Because we have the most upside down, antiquated tax code in the country.
We have a constitutionally mandated tax code. So that's the thing. Democrats, they either hate or think they can ignore the Washington State Constitution. Sorry, but the framers of our state saw the wisdom in not having an income tax unless you had the same rate on everybody. You want a 10% income tax? You can tax the person who makes 50 grand a year, $5,000 right off the top. Yeah, go ahead. So you can soak the rich. The middle class can't afford that. That's the only thing allowable under our state constitution, and they know it. What a bunch of liars and charlatans these Democrats are, ignoring the Constitution in pitching this fantasy.
It is disconnected from our diversified 21st century economy. Wealth continues to concentrate in the hands of fewer and fewer individuals who pay less and less into critical public investments.
Okay, now look. Sound Transit is stealing $100 billion so that contractors and developers can get wealthy. Government is part of the scam that concentrates the wealth in the hands of the powerful. And then they blame you and me. And they say, well, we got to raise your taxes because we're running out of money for the people who have bought us off. The teachers union, we're running out of money for them. The contractors with Sound Transit, the labor unions, we're running out of money for them. We need more of your money so we can pay off the people who have bought and own the Democrat Party.
The extraordinary profits tax helps us invest in basic education.
This is what they're calling the income tax, the capital gains, the extraordinary profits tax. So you have, I got some other news to get to here. I'll do more on this tomorrow. But so let's say you and your spouse, you've built a business. You went maybe years without taking a paycheck and you slept on the floor and you worked 18 hours a day and you eventually were able to scrape out a living. Not a fancy living. Yeah, maybe you could scrape out 80, 90 grand a year. You can take your kids on vacation once in a while. And your plan all along, because you don't have 401k, you don't have retirement plan, you put everything back into your business. And so your plan was, well, maybe when we're 65, we can sell our business and what we get from that will be our retirement. And maybe the business is worth $1 million and somebody would buy it from us. And what these, you know, the slimy politicians, they say, oh, yeah, you should give the state of Washington $100,000 from the sale of your business because it's an extraordinary profits tax. Yeah, you've been slaving for 30, 40 years to build that business, and then that's your retirement, and they think they deserve $100,000 off the top of your million-dollar sale. What a bunch of heartless, soulless, greedy people. But you know what? When you put Democrats in charge, you're going to get nothing but heartlessness and soullessness and greed. That's all you're going to get. It's for the children. Yeah, it's for the children. Okay, got some other news to talk about. I want to update you on the story we broke last week that has gone viral. Up next in The Big Lead.
The Big Lead, Dory Monson Show exclusive.
Well, it is crazy. It was just a week ago today that we broke the story on our show because a guy named Richard Schwartz, a Seattle citizen, he contacted me over the weekend a week ago and said that what happened to him at the Seattle City Council meeting was nothing short of rude.
Next is Richard Schwartz. Good afternoon.
Afternoon. Before you start the clock, could you stop it for a second? It's real discouraging to come up here and see all the heads down. It's like, you know.
Sir, you're on a two-minute timer here, so let's go.
Okay, and that was Deborah Juarez, and he just wanted their attention. So we talked to Richard last week. The video has been seen more than a million times. And on Friday, we facilitated a conversation between Richard and the mayor. And Richard joins us again here on Cairo Radio. Hey, Richard, good to talk to you again.
Good morning.
So, yeah, let's talk about what happened, because on Friday, Mayor Durkin's office talked to another reporter in town who knew we had talked to you, so they got your phone number. With your permission, I know Nicole called and asked if it'd be okay if we shared your number. Did the mayor actually reach out to you?
Yeah, before I go into that, I would like to clarify that when I talked to you previously, I did request that I didn't want to go on air about this until I had given Ms. Juarez a week to respond to an email I'd sent her afterwards. And so, you know, I just want to make sure people understand that we gave some time to respond.
Yeah, you weren't trying to turn this into the big national sensation that it's become. And yes, you specifically said when you first contacted me that you wanted to give Deborah Juarez a week because you felt that was fair. I mean, you were bending over backwards to be as fair as possible throughout this whole situation.
Yeah, and so as far as I did get a call from Mayor Durkin, fairly brief call, I assume she's a busy person, and she expressed her regrets of how things were handled, and she said that she would get her transportation people to look into our underlying problem, which was kind of behind this whole thing coming to the fore, which was our concerns about pedestrian safety on the Westlake cycle track.
Yeah.
And so she did do that, and I did get an email from her transportation person in the mayor's office saying that they are going to look into it, so I have my fingers crossed there. And in addition to that, I contacted, I can't actually remember, somehow I got in touch with council person Gonzalez, and she did respond to me as well and said that she would also, she again expressed that she didn't think things kind of went the way they should have, and that she also was going to check in with SDOT, with her staff, to see what they could do.
So you may be making some progress, which was your whole point in going down there to speak in the first place.
Yeah, hopefully. And I might mention also that after I heard by the grapevine that apparently some of the council members had actually received threats, which just really amazed me and disturbed me. So I did send a email to all of the council members expressing my regret if that had happened and just trying to brief them on to make sure they understood why I had come down, that I hadn't come down there to poke a stick in their eye. And I sent that out a couple of days ago. So far, I have heard from Mr. O'Brien, who was nice enough to say that he felt I have been handling the situation graciously. So that was nice.
Well, you certainly have not been an antagonist through this whole process. You were so fair in wanting to give her a week at the beginning, in the conversation you and I had last week. You're not a fire thrower in any way. So yeah, if people are doing that, they're just freelancing that. And I know that that's not your intent, and that certainly is not what you set out to do.
Yep.
Okay, so you might get some action now from the city. How remarkable is this, Richard? This video's been seen more than a million times. It seemed to really strike a chord with people who feel like the point you wanted to make, that too often government treats us in a way that seems to have them very disconnected from us.
Yeah, I'm a little, you know, to a certain degree, I feel bad that it's put the council members, you know, in the spotlight. But at the same time, it seemed like it was something that was appropriate to mention. And I'm pleased to see that other people see the problem, and hopefully our public officials will take note of that.
Look at you, Richard, making a positive difference. I like it, sir.
All right. Well, I'll cross my fingers, hope that the contacts that I've gotten so far aren't just one-time things, and maybe we'll be in touch later to follow up.
Keep me posted, will you?
I will do that.
I'd like that. Okay, Richard, good talking to you again. Thank you for coming on with me
again.
Okay, take care.
Thanks for your interest.
All right, Richard Schwartz, who was treated with such disdain by the Seattle City Council, but it may make huge strides in how all citizens are treated, because I don't think they can get away with that again. Up next in the Big Lead.
The Big Lead, big local.
Well, our friends over at Cairo 7 TV, they have uncovered something that I consider rather remarkable, and that is that your tax dollars are going to be used, if King County gets its way, to pay for bail for accused criminals. The executive producer over at Cairo 7 TV is Casey McNerthney, and he's the one who first developed this story. Casey, good to talk to you this afternoon.
Hey, Dory, how are you?
So explain this to me. So King County has put out an RFP, which is a request for proposal, for how much money?
$400,000.
Okay, and what are they going to use that $400,000 on?
Here's exactly from the RFP that they put out. They say, in an effort to advance its commitment to equality and social justice and support the public well-being, King County will be appropriating funds to an organization that remits payments of pretrial bail with a specific emphasis on indigent individuals.
Okay, so if somebody can't afford bail, the taxpayers will pay for it.
That's what it looks like.
Okay, now there's one gigantic problem with this, it seems to me, and that is the reason for bail is that you will show up and that whoever posts the bail for you will get the money back. So if it's yourself, if it's a relative, they're essentially vouching for you. What would be the incentive of an indigent person or street criminal to show up if they have no skin in the game and the taxpayers are paying for their bail?
That's a good question. There are a lot of questions with it. And, you know, another big one that we've gotten since finding out about this is what kind of people are we talking about? Are these violent offenses? Is this shoplifting? Are these first-time offenders? Are these repeat offenders? Are they folks from the list that you've reported on about the 100 prolific offenders?
Right.
A coworker of mine asked at Dow Constantine's office who said, you know, you want to get comment instead from the county council. He said where this originated. And so we waited to hear back. We waited on Friday, waited so far today. And there's a lot of questions and not a lot of answers from the county. Some other feedback we've gotten, too, was there was one reader who said, you know, why doesn't your article clearly spell out whether or not the county saves resources by bailing low-income people out of jail? And simple answer is we haven't heard that from the county. One way or the other, they're not talking to us. And
wow,
it's interesting, too, is that, you know, this was passed on to me by a source and said, hey, look at this RFP. And there's not a lot of attention around it from the county or from other folks. And I think the more that you don't have communication around that, the more it makes people wonder why there isn't.
Well, yeah. And, you know, in the first line that you read, in an effort to advance its commitment to equity, social justice, and support the public well-being, I mean, they just throw out those buzzwords, and as long as they're included, they just think that what they're doing is noble and good and right. But again, I don't see anybody who has the public tax dollars paying their bail showing up for a court appearance. There's just simply no incentive for them to do so, and that defeats the entire purpose of the bail system. So, you know, the other question is, we're already taxed enough. Why do we have to come up with $400,000 for people who have allegedly committed crimes? That's the other part that I think would not set well with your viewers and my listeners.
Yeah. Remember that the first half property taxes are due on April 31st.
Yeah, exactly. It goes to King County. So you have calls into all of the county council members?
I don't, but my coworker Nathan Wilson has a call in to the spokesperson for the county council. And so as soon as he hears back, you know, we'll update the story and I'll forward that over to you. And there's a lot of questions that we have around this, too. And, you know, it would be interesting to hear, you know, there's already one group that's doing this with private funds. There's the Northwest Community Bail Fund that works on a program like this. And, you know, there's a meeting about this request for proposal where potential bidders can show up. It's tomorrow from 3 to 4 o'clock in the Chinook Building, room 526. And I think it would be interesting just to go there and see who shows up and what kind of organizations and maybe, hopefully, get some more answers about it.
Yeah, well, I would love to hear answers. Well, if you find out anything, let me know, because this is a guarantee that people will not show up for their court date if the taxpayers are paying for their bail. And it's just, you know, to me, another sign that this is the go-to place to be a criminal, to be a drug offender, to be an illegal. And we have so many policies in place in this state, and we are attracting people who are wreaking havoc in so many areas of our society. And this is just another step in the absolute wrong direction. I really appreciate you tipping me off on this, Casey.
Oh, yeah, happy to do it.
Casey McCurtney.
The Big Lead on Cairo Radio.
At Cairo 7 TV. So how about that? In the same Big Lead, they want to impose an unconstitutional income tax and they want tax dollars so you can pay for the bail of accused criminals. What a state! Coming up next, we'll count down our favorite sound bites of the day. Awesome audio. Hey, it's that time when we count down our favorite sound bites of the day.
This is Dory Monson's Awesome Audio Clips of the Day.
And we have a lot of number ones, so I'm going to do officially a top two, but it's more like six or seven. At number two, a guy in Massachusetts, he ordered a beautiful 86-inch 4K HDR smart LED television. Imagine his shock when two accidentally got delivered to his house and he wouldn't return the second one that he didn't pay for. It was accidentally delivered. The police had to get a search warrant. They found the second TV also mounted to a wall in a different room, and he refused to cooperate and did not want to give it back.
Number two.
They surrounded the house and knocked on the door with flashlights coming through all the windows pretty much. They told me come outside. They handcuffed me.
Did you ever think that, hey, they made a mistake, I should return this?
I did, and I looked into all the laws and everything that happened. I said, you know, it's a scratch ticket. Sometimes you win, sometimes you lose. Amazon said I had nothing to worry about. I made no wrong decisions at that point.
The dropship company tells me they tried to contact you five times and that you were never cooperative with them.
I have my phone ringing all day long. I run a business. I get calls from Google, website people. I have no reason to answer all these calls. If it's not important, I just hang up.
What a deadbeat. He was charged with a larceny and is facing a court date. At number one, the folks at Washington Free Beacon, they put together such a brilliant video. All of the Democrat presidential candidates, Michael Scott has done a great impression of all of them. Michael Scott from The Office. Let's run through our favorites.
Number one.
Former Colorado Governor John Hickenlooper is Michael Scott.
Nothing wrong with this stuff. At all. This is fine. You know what? Gay porn, straight porn, it's all good.
Elizabeth Warren is Michael Scott.
I am Michael, and I am part English, Irish, German, and Scottish. Sort of a virtual United Nations. But what some of you might not know is that I am also part Native American Indian.
What part Native American?
2/15.
Beto O'Rourke is Michael Scott.
Guess what? I have flaws. What are they? Oh, I don't know. I sing in the shower. Sometimes I spend too much time volunteering. Occasionally I'll hit somebody with my car.
Kristen Gillibrand is Michael Scott.
Respect. R-E-S-P-C-T. Find out what it means to me. All right, you know what? That's it. Conference room, 5 minutes. Women's appreciation.
And Bernie Sanders is Michael Scott.
So I made him a promise. I told them that if they graduated from high school, I would pay for their college education. I have made some empty promises in my life, but hands down, that was the most generous.
And our own Governor Jay Inslee is Michael Scott.
Too much change is not a good thing. That's the climate.
Those are our favorite sound bites of the day. Today's sign is next. Oh, and all of that brought to you by our friends at Brown Bear Car Wash. And down the stretch we come. What a day, what a show, what a show, what a day. Big show today. Man, oh, man. I went on Twitter Friday night when the Mueller report, and we got the four-page letter from the AG. And I said, I can't believe I have to wait, what was it? It was about 60 hours until I can go on the air Monday afternoon. I got a lot to say about this. I said to my wife, I got to start doing a weekend podcast. I got too much to say. Yeah, that thought lasted about 2 seconds. She goes, hey, you're going to do a podcast on the weekends now, huh? Okay, yeah. I'll believe that when I see it. But it was fascinating to take down just the absolute idiocy, the bile, the hatred from the media, from Democrat politicians, from national security, intelligence people. who survived after Barack Obama, who were calling for treason and all of this other nonsense. It was a really revealing last 2 years. And it didn't reveal anything about the president, and it revealed everything about the legacy media and the current state of the Democrat Party. It's consumed with hatred. So I finally got on the air today. You can go check the podcast if you missed any of it. But right now, it's time for today's edition of
Today's Sign That the End Is Near.
Today's sign the world is soon coming to an end. You know, the profession that I, in general, don't have a lot of respect for, besides politics, art. Now, don't get me wrong. There are some artists who do wonderful, beautiful work, and people of their own free will, they will spend money that they've earned because a piece of art moves them. Then you have the public artists, you know, who are scamming Sound Transit taxpayers out of tens of millions of dollars. That whole public art scam, that should not be allowed. And then you have just the pretentious, the people who take some little piece of nonsense and they try to attach some significance to it. Let me tell you about artist Dominic Allen, who goes by the name Dominic of Luton. He took a picture of his dad's underwear drying on a radiator. And he said, I'm going to sell this. He titled it My Dad's Pants. And I'm looking right at the picture. It's three pairs of underwear just sitting on a radiator. Well, it was displayed in the prestigious Saatchi Gallery in London, and it just went under the hammer in an auction for a price of $1,300. The artist said, my dad was horrified that a photograph of his underwear was blown up massively and displayed in public. I was wandering around the house with a digital camera, and I was just snapping what I was seeing. I was just taking photos of what was in front of me, and that happened to be my home and my family. And so he took the picture of his dad's underwear and got $1,300 for it. Now, I'm sorry. The fact that he thought that that was art, and then the fact that somebody was so pretentious as to pretend it was worth $1,300. Now, it's fine. It's a private transaction, two private individuals. Somebody wanted to pay $1,300. That's none of my business. It is my business and yours when Sound Transit hijacks us for $50 million for public art. But something like this, I'm not suggesting it shouldn't happen. It's just very, very odd. Today's sign story number two, you know, with minimum wage hikes, fast food places are making a huge investment in those self-serve kiosks. So you'll just punch in your order yourself. They want to save money now that's $15 an hour to have somebody manning the register. Well, another test has been done on one of those McDonald's fast food kiosks. And the researchers, they found that most people do not wash their hands between touching the screen and then picking up and eating their meal. And that is bad because they said they couldn't believe how much fecal bacteria there was on the touchscreen machines. This causes the kind of infections that people pick up in hospitals. For instance, that's a long scientific name, Enterococcus faecalis. It's part of a flora of gastrointestinal tracts of healthy humans and other mammals. It's notorious in hospitals for causing hospital-acquired infections. And, you know, in a hospital, the doctors, the nurses, they do the little hand sanitizer every single time when they leave a room. And when they enter a room, they know, medical professionals know, but we're putting our fingers on these machines that are filled with fecal bacteria, and then we, not enough of us, wash our hands, and you pick up a hamburger. Ah! 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 Wash your hands. And by the way, I still say that when you make me czar, I will mandate that every bathroom door swing out from the inside of the bathroom. So you don't have to grab the handle. I have to use the paper towel and grab the handle with the paper towel and then hold the foot with my door while I toss the paper towel in a garbage can, because I'm not touching a bathroom door handle after I've washed my hands, for crying out loud. But, man, wash your hands after touching those touch screens. Please. This has been a public service of the Dory Monson Show. And finally, in today's sign, I got my first real six-string, blow it at the five and done, played it till my fingers bled, was the summer of 69. Me and some guys from school had a band and we tried real hard. A 34-year-old woman is facing charges of stabbing her boyfriend in the face. They were at a Bryan Adams concert, and the boyfriend was out of control. They had gone with her mother to the concert. They also have three kids. Near the end of the show, the woman left her seat to stand with the crowd closer to the stage. A man sitting near the front took issue with her. The man took out his phone and said he was going to report her. Her boyfriend took the phone and threw it. Well, when security saw that, they kicked the boyfriend and the girlfriend out of the stadium. And the woman was so upset that her boyfriend throwing the phone got them kicked out. It quickly became one of the worst days of their lives. So they get kicked out of the stadium, and the woman says, I was upset. Mom said I missed a good part of the show. Bryan Adams saying a tribute to his father. After walking home, saying goodbye to the babysitter and putting her youngest child to bed, she confronted her boyfriend again. She said, I asked him why would he ruin the last 20 minutes of the concert. And that's when she stabbed him in the face. She took a pot of macaroni salad from the fridge and threw it at him. After her boyfriend threw her to the floor, she grabbed a small paring knife from the dish rack and she stabbed him in the face with it. So now she could be going to prison. The kids have been taken away. It just was not a good day for her. Or for her boyfriend. It wasn't a good day for anyone. I bet alcohol was a factor. I got to get out of here. I've said everything I have to say for today. I'll go home and think up a bunch of great stuff for tomorrow's extravaganza. Kenny, Mike, and Todd are coming up next, and we'll see you back here tomorrow, high noon. Hello.
What would you say you do here?
Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen. You're really a fantastic audience.